Now, moving along, how did you measure practice change when you were implementing the ISP supported employment?
Okay, well, I suppose it's divided into two sections. One is the pre-installation data audit that I mentioned before, and then specifically within our service level agreement, we have objectives and key performance indicators. So if I can just take you back to the data audit, some of the information that we looked at was income source completion. So when we did that again after 12 months, so this was the random audit of those 43 files, a different 43 files, that had actually gone up from about a little under a quarter to about 50%. So overall people were completing that much more frequently. The care plan module completion had gone up from about 18 to 31%. But the interesting thing there is where there was a care plan, 75% of them had a vocational goal documented, and that had gone up from zero. So you can see the impact of having the program and the VEET clinician working there, and the assessment and intake procedures. And interestingly, a quarter of all cases had a referral to the VEET clinician and were actively receiving some sort of mental health vocationally focused intervention, whereas before that had been zero because there was no service. Within the service level agreement, we've got objectives about increasing the competitive outcomes for people of working age who are consumers of the service. So when we look at the 12, well, it's 11 months, but nearly 12 months, we've gone from having one person identified in the audit to 14 people being placed in employment. So I think there's another couple, so it'll probably be around 16 by the time we have our steering group on Friday.
It's great.
2 days. The other objective is around the fidelity score. So we have in our contract that 6 monthly we have an external fidelity audit, and our aim is to reach a score of 100. When we do that, we can go to 12 months. We had our initial one and we got 81, which was fair fidelity. So that was after about 6 months, and we've got recommendations to increase that score for the next time. And in fact, I know that some of those things have already been implemented. So it's nice concrete feedback to be able to do that.
And this is a measure that was developed for implementation of supported employment, ISP programs.
This was developed by Deborah Becker and Bob Drake, who are at the Dartmouth Medical Research, it's the Psychiatric Research Institute, so there's a whole department of IPS. Yeah, so they've actually developed this tool over probably 20 years.
Yeah.
And what we have in Australia is the Supported Employment Fidelity Scale. So that's been adapted by Jeff Waghorn, who's based at the Queensland Centre for Mental Health.
And what would be some of the criteria in that fidelity measure?
Some of the really key things are issues around caseload size. So you have a caseload size ideally of 20 people, not exceeding 25. There are items around the organisational structure and how mental health and employment services are integrated. So whether, you know, how often the employment specialist attends case management review team meetings. There are issues around supervision. There are issues around promoting the service. So for example, one of the items is that you've got to have a poster in the waiting room of the mental health service. So it can be clinical stuff, promotional stuff, very basic stuff around numbers. So there are a range of measures.
With the example of the poster, would it be a yes, no, there's a poster in a particular place, yes or no?
Basically, yes, there is one or there isn't one.
Yeah.
So, and then some of the other issues around supervision, supervision of the employment specialist and who provides that, because there's a bit of blurring of roles. They do remain employees of their service, so their service provision along their legislative guidelines needs to be provided by their business manager, but then there's also the supervisory element of assisting them to work with people with a mental health problem. So that's where the mental health service needs to provide that education and supervision, if you want to call it that.
Okay. And finally, do you have any general advice or handy tips to give to people?
You need lots of energy. Target people who are interested and also have some power, because you can get interested people but they don't have any decision-making influence. and follow the path of least resistance. Do it with people who want to do it.
Mm. That's in fact what is recommended in a lot of the implementation literature. Start with people who, you know, don't try and push people uphill that aren't going to come with you.
Yeah, it's too exhausting.
Have some successes first.
That's right. And I think the other thing is just to build in, work out how you're going to measure your outcomes early, and so then you can go and promote your achievements and say to people, well, this works here at Blacktown, so we can do it here as well.
Yeah,
so having local examples is really important.
Yeah,
and inspire a bit of competition.
Yeah.
You know, if they can do it there, we can do it here.
Yeah.
We've done that a little bit with it. Queensland's got the biggest implementation in Australia, so we kind of always have a little joke about, you know, the IPS state of origin, we're going to overtake them.
Yes.
Yeah, so those things are crucial.
Okay, well, thank you very much.